Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to this first of the TechEd Exchange and Link track, okay, as we go through. So hopefully all you guys are here for EXL 201. Now, this is pretty much the only 200-level session we've got when we're talking about Link Server, okay? And what's interesting around the Link Server and the Link Server track, this is the first TechEd that we've had where we can actually publicly now talk about Link Server 2013, right, the next version of Link Server and where we're taking the product and the solution set, all right? So pretty much this is the first sort of full public disclosure, if you like, around a lot of the stuff, you know, you're going to talk about and hear about we go on there today. So when I was given the title of the presentation, it was come and do this introduction and demo Palooza. And being an English guy, I had no idea what Palooza meant, but apparently it just means loads of demo stuff, all right? So what we've actually got on here is subject to the demo gods. We've got about 50-50 between some PowerPoint slides to break you in gently, because it's nice, it's 200, we can get into this stuff, and then show you under the hoods in terms of what does it actually mean when we talk about these new experiences or these new capabilities, and we'll demo some of that capability in action, okay? Again, I always caveat my live demos with subject to conference venue, internet connectivity, but 5 minutes ago we were all good, as it happens around there. So my name is Paul Dolly, I'm part of Microsoft New Zealand and the Link team here, so I sort of look after Link from a pre-sales and solution perspective, so I'll recognize quite a few faces who we've dealt with in the room. The only other thing I'll say about the product before we get in and talk about that, and this is my caveat and get out of jail slide around on here, we are still pre-release, okay? We're at the preview stage. You know, you can go online, you can download the bits, you can consume it through a 365 service so you can play and get the whole Link 2013 experience, but obviously stuff potentially is subject to change as it is, as it comes around there. You know, we're not going to be talking about any sort of licensing and pricing, how it's going to be bundled and all that other stuff, right? That's still in the making, and that'll come, you know, nearer launch once we happen to get around there, you know? And I think I've got one or two slides that talk about just some, you know, potential performance stats, scalability, that type of stuff. Again, the caveat is that's still going through testing, okay? So may well increase, may well decrease, but we'll give you an idea of, you know, where we're at right now with the product so you can get a feel of what's happening as it goes around there. So with all that taken into account. Pretty simple agenda, as I mentioned. So we're going to discuss what's new in Link Server 2013, primarily focusing around the clients and the new client experience and the new capabilities. We'll touch a little bit on the server, but very, very briefly, because we have Andrew coming up, and there's a whole bunch of sessions I'll reference to at the end, where we're going to go and do some 300 deep dives into a lot of this stuff, the meeting experience, the voice experience, architecture, deployment, all of those other types of things you need to understand, you know, as we get into this new solution set around Link. Then we're going to do the demo, and it wouldn't be a TechEd session if we didn't have some cool giveaways. I think there's only one car here because my son wants one, or I do. So there's two boxes on the stage, and we'll think of some questions at the end in terms of giveaway. So the caveat for that one is you need to be here at the end in terms to be able to win that stuff as it goes through. Okay, and again, we'll keep questions to the end just so we can rock through the content, and then at the end we can have some Q&A, and then will be available, myself and Andrew, afterwards, so we can dive into this as well when it comes through. Now, it's a 200 session, so we've got a tiny bit of architecture up front. Apologies for that one around there, but I really like this slide when, you know, we get new people who say, well, I don't understand this Link thing, this, you know, I'm hearing about it everywhere. What is it? You know, give me the 1 minute synopsis of what Link is actually delivering to in terms of capability, you know, when it goes through. When you think about all of the blocks there you see on the screen, you know, we talk about our office applications, we talk about, you know, I'm using Outlook or I'm using Excel or PowerPoint or whatever it happens to be, or more Outlook as I go back to my inbox around there. You know, it's about the ability to communicate or initiate communications from anywhere across the Microsoft Office stack. So however I want to communicate, I do it straight from there, and we focus this thing around presence, you know, availability of somebody or resource or a group of people so I can communicate with them. So that's the first thing. You know, we're all familiar with using those apps and stuff. When we look at conferencing, video conferencing, audio conferencing, you know, two different types, probably most people have used that stuff, but again, it's not been part of a unified comm solution. We talk about video, it tends to have been a room I go to do a video conference, or the exec go and do their broadcast from somewhere and do that thing. You know, audio conferences we're familiar with, where we go, you know, you dial in, you need an attendee pin or a leader pin or a presenter pin, all that stuff, and you know, those meetings where you're talking for an hour and you know, what actually happens, you hear all these tones every 2 minutes where people drop off and join all the time, you know, throughout the audio conference. And it takes you 15 minutes to get all through all the roster of everybody that actually comes in and attends the meeting. Oh, sorry, I'm late, just joined, and you get the name and stuff. Audio conferencing. Obviously, telephony. You know, when we talk about telephony and PBX platforms, you know, Link as a replacement for PBX platforms. Pretty much, yeah, that really accelerated when we got into the Link Server 2010 release. You know, we had previous product around Office Communication Server, 2007 R2 and 2007, and previous product LCS prior to those days. But really, with Link Server 2010, we've really seen this broad, wide-set adoption and deployment of Link as a PBX replacement platform. You know, we don't call it a PBX, but it's a PBX replacement platform. Hand in hand with that, of course, you need voicemail. Now, this is where really when we're talking about Exchange and Link really starting to marry together across on here. You know, the messaging capability that we have around voicemail or unified messaging is delivered from Exchange Server as it comes in. And we'll talk and touch on, you know, with 2013, there's some other, not interdependencies, but real nice-to-haves where it's a much better together experience once you have Link and Exchange Server deployed together across there. Then we think about web conferencing, and that's probably more recent in, you know, it can be as simple as, hey, how do I go and collaborate and share some content with people inside my organization or external to my organization, you know, and get those in there in a meeting type experience, maybe with audio, maybe with video, maybe just sharing, having a phone call across there. And then IM and persistent chat. So this is really about, you know, the prevalence of sort of IM as it's come through. You know, anybody that's a Gen Y and not a Gen Xer, so I'm a Gen Y, obviously, in terms of the hairpiece across there, right? You're familiar with using that IM experience, you know, through Skype, through other consumer-type IM engines. Now, that's really driving through into the enterprise, okay? And really, that's where the heritage around Live Communication Server back 2003 started, around delivering that IM enterprise experience across there and really broaden out across. The last one there, you may think, hey, what's that? Persistent chat. We talk about persistent chat as, think of it like topic-based chat rooms. I can go, I can subscribe to, I want to know about a particular product, and there's a chat room about that product that has related experts who contribute and add information. I can join that group if I'm allowed, and I can contribute if I'm allowed. And we see all of the history around that particular topic, so I can just dive in and out at will to retrieve information around there. All right, so that's what we call, you know, persistent chat. And again, all of this capability is a native part, as you'd expect, around Link Server 2013 as we get there. Now, the great thing about it, when you think about this at a real, real simple level from, you know, the user or from, you know, the back end in IT, in terms of what we've tried to do is replicate the same experience regardless of device or network a user is on. Okay, so be I'm on a mobile phone, be I'm on a PC or a Mac, or be I'm on a web client, or however I'm actually joining in and accessing Link, what we try to do is make that experience pretty much identical, you know, tailoring it for the platform that we're on, but so that I can very, very easy and seamlessly as an end user move between devices and just pick up where I left off because, hey, I don't need to learn something new and how I then go and initiate and do video communications or voice communications as it comes through. What does that mean from the back end, from an IT infrastructure perspective and management perspective, is I don't have all these silo applications where I need to go and manage my video conference system, stuff around there. I don't need to go and have separate PBX platforms that I need to go and manage across there. You know, we see the benefit of having all of that collapsed down, leveraged through a software application, which we have through Link. So what's new? So there is heaps and heaps of stuff in terms of what's new and far too much content than we've got for even the six sessions we have around Link. And I suppose I highlighted on here four big things, but absolutely by no means exclusive in terms of some of the new stuff that's come along on here as it comes in. And I'm going to dive into some of these in a little bit more detail as we go through, you know, the presentation on here. The first one's around video. Okay, so we're including now an additional codec stack around, based around H.264, SVC, scalable codec. Okay, so it now means we can deliver, not only a 1080p full high-def video experience peer-to-peer, but we can actually include high definition now when we get into the meeting experience. And when I talk about meeting experience, I'm talking about more than two people now in there. Hey, now I can do multi-party video. If you're familiar with OCS or Link Server 2010, you know, if I invite 20 people to a meeting, the experience that I had as a user in terms of, you know, everybody could have their webcam switched on or camera device, what I would actually see on my client is a single pane of video. And that would switch actively based on whoever's talking at the time in the meeting. So if somebody starts talking, bang, the video will switch from one person to that person, and we see their video in there. Somebody else starts talking, and again, it would switch, right? Serve the purpose. Probably one of the big requests we had was, hey, that's great. How can we really improve upon that experience and deliver multi-party capability as it has coming through there? So again, we've done that in terms of this full HD video. any client, and I'll touch around the Link web client and what that can now deliver as we get into these meetings, but really broadening out that meeting experience and immersive in there. We also include, when we talk about meetings, if I don't have a camera, we can now populate through Exchange Server 2013 and have a high def photo published in there. I think it's something like 648 pixels by 648 you can have in there as an HD photo. When I do the demos on here, we just got an Exchange Server 2010 backend I've got hooked up on here, so you can see some low-res, grainy-type photos with people when they come into meetings and stuff. But that experience changes once we get into 2013, when we can have these high-def photos coming on. The second big area, if you like, talked upon there is around mobility. From a mobility perspective, we've had Link clients for Link Server 2010 we introduced last year, and we introduced clients for Windows Phone, as you would expect, but we also introduced Link clients that addressed iOS. So there's an iPad and an iPhone client. We introduced an Android client across there. Right? So we're hitting all of the major smartphone platforms. Now, RIM had a client that worked on BlackBerry against Link Server 2010 and previous versions as it comes through there. Primarily, those mobility clients were really about delivering an IM and presence experience. You know, what we've now done is taking that to the next stage and thought, hey, you know, as a user that travels, I mean, I don't have my PC or my Slate or tablet active right now, and I've just got my phone there, you know, what about if I can do VoIP and video across the data channel? So doing VoIP over Wi-Fi, over 3G, over 4G networks, and video over 3G and 4G networks. So absolutely, you know, we've introduced that in terms of the new mobility clients we'll see coming downstream. We'll have that capability off the mix as well. We've also looked in terms of integrating across Office, even deeper. Okay, when I think about PowerPoint, now when I have an option to go in and I go in and to present, I have a present online option that will actually automatically select and pick up what meetings I have in there, online meetings, which actual meetings I want to share that with, or which IM windows I might have open to want to share it with an individual person. So I can actually initiate my collaboration sessions straight from the application I'm working in. Okay, I don't need to step out or step between from PowerPoint back into Link or schedule a meeting, then upload a PowerPoint into there. I can do that on the fly straight from the application. So there's a much, much tighter integration between the Office apps you see around Office 2013 and what we have coming around Link. There's a new contact card that we expose in there that gives a much broader or deeper capability set you'll see when we go into demo around some of the information that actually pushes through. The last one that's up on the screen there is talking about Skype. Okay, so one of the killer things about Link is the ability to federate, right? So you can deploy a Link Edge server in the DMZ, which effectively allows external communications between me and my organization and other people outside who maybe, A, they've got Link Server or OCS deployed, so I can see their presence and communicate with those guys. But also, with 2010, we had the capability to federate to things like Yahoo and AOL and IM engines, right, using SIPSimple protocol primarily to come through there. We could also do a Windows Live federation and do audio and video. So someone, you know, on a PC at home, I could actually do a high-def, if you like, RTA, RTV video call between my Link client and that user on Windows Live. Now, obviously, when we acquired Skype last year, the question started coming thick and fast is, well, what does that mean for Link, right? You know, is Skype going to be this replacement product? Where's that going to fit in terms of the whole market? The reality is with Skype, we say, you know, it's very small business and it's a consumer platform. But the value in being able to federate that, so me now as a Link user, being able to do IM, presence, and audio calling at launch, right? Those are the actual capability we'll have with Link Server 2013, to be able to initiate those calls straight out to a Link client. So now to think about the scenarios around B2C and C2B type scenarios, you know, or call centers, you know, I sort of talk about an interaction I have with my bank. Okay, normally, if I want to interact with my bank and it's not in person walking into the branch, okay, there'll be either A, I can go onto an app or, you know, internet, access my information around my banking, or B, it's a call center type environment where I dial up, I might have some IVR type stuff, and hopefully I'll get through and speak to somebody about what it is I want to speak to. Now the potential we have with Link and Skype Federation is that now as Joe Public at home with my Skype-enabled PC or TV or whatever it happens to be there, now potentially I can Skype and have that call queued through into the Link contact center, have skills-based routing and all of the treatments applied to that call so it routes it through the system accordingly, but hey, now it's just a call coming in from Skype across the internet. So those are four big things, but by no means all the things we have coming through here. Now, multi-party HD video and this thing called H.264. So H.264 SVC is recently adopted by the IETF as a ratified standard, okay? This is not some proprietary codec stack that's out there, you know, in terms of doing video. What it does is it does allow us to do a much simpler form of interoperability to other video vendors. You see, we've got a Polycom bit of kit up on the stage on here, which we'll show and go through in demo, you know. But, hey, it doesn't necessarily mean plug and play, right? Because even with H.264 SVC, how you enforce and how you do signaling, because there's some extra capability in there, may be different between one vendor and another as it comes around there, right? Which is why we have an interop process around getting that stuff to play nicely, so you can say, yep, I can hook up this system, and it just works across there, right? So be wary of any sort of system or vendor that's saying, yeah, it's H.264 and it's standard across there. There are going to be variances across between what that means, okay, and how that works. But there's a little screenshot in terms of what the experience looks like. And we say we do multi-party HD. We're actually doing 5+1 video now, okay? So I can have 5 active video panes, okay, in my client across there. We say the plus one. If you see the smaller one on the right-hand side across here, let me just grab my laser across there. So that is my own video preview that I have there. So we talk about the 5+1, and again, because we've got some great marketing people, this is the standing row, okay, of people in the meeting. Okay, they're there, and I see those guys active. Underneath them, what you're seeing are these HD thumbnails coming through, and this is the sitting row, and, you know, it doesn't matter how many people I've got in there. You know, if I've got more people than the width of the screen, it'll just scroll off the side as it crosses there. I've got a couple of hundred people in the meeting as it comes through there. Now, what actually happens is it'll transition those 5 people, okay, between who's contributing and who's talking around the content, all right? So this is one of the last 5 speakers, if you like, within the meeting experience. But there are a lot more controls I'll talk on and touch on in terms of what you can do in that meeting experience once you walk through there in terms of, hey, how do I really organize and have a structured meeting where I don't want all these video stuff flipping around and going in there so people really focus on one person. So we can do all that stuff. Now, everybody speaks and says, well, that's a really great capability, do all this stuff multi-party now and have video. The network guys in the audience sit there and say, well, how much bandwidth? What's that really going to mean? What's the implications, you know, around that stuff? These are some figures. And again, the caveats at the start around some of the stuff that's still, you know, being worked upon in terms of some of the numbers as it has coming through there. The left-hand side, the 2 columns, what we have is, you know, a peer-to-peer or single video view when it comes through there. Excuse me. Apologies. 2 weeks of man flu, just recovering. Every man's sympathetic and every woman's just saying, nothing wrong with you. So what we have around bandwidth usage, minimum quality, 100K, all right? Really, if you're doing video at 100K, that's for people like me where you're not going to see if I've got no hair or if I've got a perm, right, coming through on there. Yes, you're going to get video, but it's real, real minimum quality as we get there in terms of bandwidth. An okay quality, we're looking really, you know, a resolution 424 by 240 of okay quality, acceptable video quality as it comes through there. So you're looking at 250 kilobits per second in terms of requirement, in terms of driving that single video pane when it goes through. Now, we can whack that up to 720p, it's about 1.5 meg, or again, we're still doing some fine tuning around if you want to go all the way up and do full 1080p, so you've got this real immersive sort of high-def desktop video experience when it comes through there, then hey, yep, you know, there are network considerations that we have coming through there. When you look at that multi-view, so on the right-hand side, the 2 columns there, the highlight in blue is really the recommendation that we have right now, okay, around you want to enable this capability to users to do multi-party, 5-person gallery view of video across there. Now, we're saying sort of, you know, 2.5 meg in terms of bandwidth requirement to actually suck that stuff coming through there, okay? You know, and if you look at it, up to 8 meg if you're doing 2 1080 by 1080 full HD videos consuming through that in the client, all right? Again, Link's not just going to grab all that stuff, all right? There's policy and control we can deliver around there to ensure that, hey, you know, you may be at some sites, you actually disable multi-party video across there, okay? So, hey, you're not allowed at this particular site where we've got a real, you know, small WAN connection coming in there. And we'll also not only allow you not any multi-party, but we're also going to lock your maximum video quality or video bandwidth to X kilobits per second, whatever that may be, right? Then we can enforce call and mission control, all right? Quality of service. All of these things come together And again, there's a network session that dives around some of this capability is and how we enable it, really enables you to put absolute control across your network. So it's not the case of thinking, wow, this video thing is going to kill my network. You can put the controls and deploy it as and where you need it and ensure things do work and continue to work, right? So without breaking the WAN environment as we have coming through there. I talked about structured meetings. So there are now more flexible and more presenter controls that I can have around the meeting experience. Okay. Think about, you know, I have a meeting with five people and we're all just in the same team and we're collaborating and working on stuff. Hey, I'll enable the multi-party video view if I'm organizing that meeting, so ad hoc or scheduled when it comes through. And it may be we're all contributing on a whiteboard or on some content that we're sharing, you know, across on there. But what about now I'm the CEO and I want to do my monthly company broadcast, okay? I don't want everybody joining that company meeting and hearing people's dogs barking in the background from somebody's dodging from home or seeing people picking their nose on video as they cross there because their video panes are in this gallery as it crosses. So there are controls we can put. We can lock people in the spotlight or enable only my video to be displayed when it comes through their inner meeting options. So I'm the CEO. You will see me. You will hear me. You're permanently muted. You can't unmute yourself. All of those strict meeting controls so I can get my message across and deliver that as it comes in there. But everywhere in between as well, so we have great, great flexibility, you know, in terms of putting audio media controls around there in video and also around content and what can and can't be done, who can present, who can't present, and what you can do around content when that's part of that whole meeting experience when it comes through. There's also things that as a presenter, when you're presenting online, there's nothing more distracting when you think, I've got to go and click somewhere. I need to go and share something and add it in, and I'm doing multiple clicks. And I'm trying to talk at the same time because I'm presenting online and doing stuff, all right, and failing because I can't multitask, all right? And you just hold on there a sec while I go and find this and do that. We've introduced the concept of peaks. And if you've seen Outlook 2013, all right, you see this new peak thing where I just hover over something and it'll actually pop up and show me an IM window in Link in the meeting, all right? Or it'll pop up and show me the sharing window. Sharing meeting as it goes in, all the people pane. All of that stuff now I can do very, very easily just by hovering the mouse so I can continue my flow in that meeting experience as I go through that. We also now have the concept of having a new private meeting space created when I join a meeting or schedule a meeting or have one that's reused and reused. You know, so now if I'm presenting some content that might be restricted or I don't want to get out there, I can create this new private workspace that only attendees in that meeting to get into. All right, as opposed to my public space where anybody potentially from the meeting from my company could come in and join across there. So again, great, great control on how we deliver that. We also enforce DRM across in the meeting experience. There's a couple of views in terms of there are options around how as a user I can also customize and consume that meeting experience based on what I'm allowed to do as well across there. Okay, so I can switch at any time between what you're seeing on the top there. So around the gallery view, so this is the box on here where I'm seeing that multi-party 5+1 video stream coming in there. I could switch to a speaker view, then the one at the top would disappear in terms of the five panes, and I would see the speaker and the content there on my screen coming through. Or I have a presentation view where it brings up my presentation or whatever the content is so I can consume that stuff perhaps without even getting distracted by any video or any audio there coming through at all. Again, we'll demo and show some of this capability when we go through in the demo environment so you can see and get your head around what that really means when it comes in there. Another great thing around content in that meeting experience. So the first time as well now, if you have a media file or video file embedded in PowerPoint, okay, when I go and share that PowerPoint, I can now go and share real-time media that's embedded within there to anybody else that's joined the meeting as it comes through, right? So when I'm actually going in and I'm sharing a PowerPoint, what it's doing is uploading it to the AV server, okay, then pushing it back out, you know, to the users across there. That's so that you can do things like asynchronous viewing of PowerPoint, you know? My boss brings a PowerPoint up in the online meeting. I've seen half of it before, so I can read ahead and skip ahead and read through the slides, okay, because I'm actually accessing that from the server. I'm not seeing a render or a desktop share that's coming from his machine on there where I don't have any sort of control, you know, around that stuff when it comes in. But that capability and some of the new capability and how we actually force and render the PowerPoints down, now that means I can now play media. If you've tried to play media over a Link Online meeting previously, you know, it's pretty challenging, and all you get is a bunch of jitter and stutter and stuff, you know, like you have no bandwidth on a connection when you try and do that, okay? So, again, great new feature we have with Link Server 2013. Okay, so meetings are great. One of the things we notice at Microsoft is obviously, you know, we use Link Server. And with 2010, what we had is if we invited customers or external participants to our meeting experience, what you had with 2010 were really two ways that as a remote participant, not part of the organization, you could join the meeting. I could go and it would pop me up and join via a web type client. I come in via the Link web client, okay? But with Link Server 2010, it really just give me some content and an attendee roster. I couldn't do any sort of media and type audio and video. So I still needed to either A, dial into the bridge and, you know, get into the meeting experience from my desk phone or mobile phone or whatever it happens to be across there. I either think call me back to a phone type device, all right? That to get that experience. The other option you had was, and this was a fairly typical one, is 2 minutes before the meeting was due to start, someone would pop up their reminder and they'd click to join online on the hyperlink. And then they would install the Link attendee client, right, PC-only client. I can't remember the file size. It's a good, I don't know, 60 meg, 100 meg. It's a big, decent-sized file. So what we are finding is, A, people were saying, hey, I'm 10 minutes late. Sorry, I had to install the client to join the meeting and come through there. So again, the meeting's starting 10 minutes late. Or they didn't have admin rights on their machine. They couldn't get in. And we have all this sort of delay associated with the start of meetings. So introducing the new Link web app for a browser, HTML5 browser compatible. There is a plugin the first time you join a meeting that happens, and the plugin is effectively to connect your media devices, i.e. your webcam and your speaker and mic from your PC through into the browser so it can be used in a Link environment. When I do that, I can now join through an HTML5 browser and have the same full, almost full fidelity experience between the rich client and the web client. It's almost identical. In fact, because I don't really use the web client much because I've got a Link client on my machine, I was playing last night and actually trying to find the differences between the two. And I'll show it in demo so you can actually see the thing and what it looks like. So that includes full media with voice and video in the browser session. It includes the gallery with the new 5+1 video experience. You know, the ability to do peaks and do IMs and do everything I can do from that full rich client I can now do from the web, which means meetings you organize with external participants as they come through just got a whole more streamlined because all those guys need is a compliant browser on the other end and they're away across there, okay? And I tested it last night and we're doing on Firefox and Chrome without any issues at all. So it's not just a lockdown around IE, around doing this stuff through the web browser when it comes in. Mobility. Okay, so when we talk about mobility, mobility is really sort of stretched in Link now to beyond the 3- and 4-inch screen around mobile phones, you know, when it comes through there. I mentioned that we had, you know, the Link clients for Windows Phone, iOS, iPad, iPhone, and Android with 2010, serving the IM and presence experience. You know, really the only slate-like experience was the iPad one, and again, it was the same, you know. We recently introduced a version 1.5 for iPad that allowed me to not only do the IM and presence piece, but also allows me to consume and see content from a meeting from there, okay? But, hey, there's this new thing called Windows 8 around the corner. That introduces a whole new way in terms of devices that we're seeing coming through, you know, sort of some of the stuff around the keynote around there. So, you know, first off, absolutely, there will be and there is a Link, this new modern Windows 8 experience client that's optimized around touch. Again, we'll try to keep the same look and feel, and that's just a rendering around there, right? So, again, actual client may be slightly different from what that comes in there, but what you're getting the feel is it's based around people, it's based around photos, it's based around presence in real time. So I can control that with a swipe, with a thumb. I can launch an IM or a voice or a video call or join a conference and do all of the stuff I can do from the traditional desktop client and get through there on the new Windows 8 type experience when you have coming through there. But of course, there's also this new mobile experience to address the other platforms when it comes through. And again, the focus from Microsoft is around the same major smartphone platforms, Windows Phone, Windows Phone 8, okay, iOS, Android. Okay, those devices are the ones we've really put the effort into. We haven't, and we're not intending to create a client for RIM, a BlackBerry around there. RIM did create their own client for previous versions of Link Server. So, you know, if you're looking for a RIM client that's going to work on your BlackBerry against Link Server 2013, really it's a case of, hey, RIM, are you going to be updating that client to include this new capabilities or so it can connect to this back end across here. So with the mobile phones, window phone experience as we come through there. What you'll notice as I flick through these next couple of charts is that the capability is virtually identical across these platforms. I say virtually identical. So absolutely, we're still going to deliver that sort of rich presence and IM experience across Windows Phone as it comes in there. We're going to be able to do corporate directory search, so looking people up on the fly across there, searching for them so that I can launch a communication with them. With Link Meetings, you know, I have this single touch join meeting experience when it comes through there. I don't, if I'm dialing in, you know, it may be just an audio conference that we're using Link for, I don't need to remember dial-in numbers, I don't need to remember attendee pins or leader pins and all that stuff. It's a one-touch join experience when it comes through. With Windows Phone, and this is the primary difference we have right now around here, is the calendar integration we have with Windows Phone, and the Outlook experience will be much richer in terms of that online meeting than we look across some of the other platforms. But really, it's the big ones at the bottom, which I've already touched upon. So voice and video across Wi-Fi, across 3G, across 4G networks now, out to these mobile devices, and video across IP, those same IP, you know, Wi-Fi, 3G, 4G networks. Now again, the network guys go, well, we haven't engineered our Wi-Fi network to do media. You know, and the reality is most Wi-Fi networks are in that same boat. So I think in Andrew's session, we're going to be talking about some of the network requirements and some of the things that you need to consider, especially when doing things like, you know, voice over Wi-Fi or trying to do video, because, you know, the impact there in those environments may be an area of the network that does really need to be looked at to deliver that capability. But of course, you know, what it does from that user experience is that changes a whole new scope of capability and changes price modeling around how I'll be doing VoIP to mobile and voice to mobile. Now it's not about traditional cellular calling, because, you know, it's that single number capability where you call my DDI, it comes across VoIP, I can take it on my Windows phone across there and we can have that call. Or even, you know, vice versa, I'm just walking around and I'm using data now to initiate my voice and video calling as opposed to traditional. So what does it mean? More data usage, absolutely, across there, but it's a transition, if you like, from those traditional minutes into that data world of delivering stuff across there. So you might be willing to look into a buffer up your data plans with your mobile carriers around some of this stuff to get there, and that switch from voice to video when it comes in. But hey, you know, obviously about Link, it's probably, you know, the Link team are probably the most agnostic when it comes to the platform when it comes across here, because, you know, we say it's any network, any device, and that's borne out by across when you look at the iPhone and the capabilities that are mapped in there now that we're introducing with Link Server 2013 and the new iPhone iOS mobile clients. You know, and I don't know if that's an iPhone 3 or a 5, because they'll probably look pretty similar across there. But you can see the experience we have, bar the calendar integration piece. Okay, it's identical to what we had there around Windows Phone across there. I can still do voice, I can do video, 3G, 4G, Wi-Fi. I have the single-click join around the meeting experience and the full IM client. Again, you know, if you look at the actual client itself, there's some slight tweaks around the UI to give it that sort of iOS app-type look. You know, so the users are familiar with that particular device in terms of an iPhone are familiar with the application view, but doing it in a way where, hey, they're also familiar with it because it's the same as Link in terms of the photo rendering and the rich presence and all of that other stuff that I have pushing through across there. Android, again, not excluding that across there. So again, same replicational ability that we have on the iOS device or the iPhone device we're putting through there. So yes, you will be able to do 3G, 4G across your Android devices, across Link Server 2013. I don't have any of the, you know, hey, what's the minimum sort of requirements around OS to actually run this stuff? Okay, that's not all baked out as we have coming through there on these clients. And unfortunately, I don't have the clients that we can actually show and demo, you know, with you today, other than talk around, you know, the capability that will be there once we introduce these new clients when it comes in. But of course, Windows Phone 8 around the corner, nobody's going to want an Android phone anyway, so we're all good. Now, I mentioned there's was an iPad 1.5 client that was launched a couple of months back, okay, which allowed this meeting experience or the ability to consume content within the meeting as it comes around there. Okay. Likewise with the iPad, so really very similar to the iOS iPhone client, but of course we're just really creating and rendering for the different screen size real estate across there. But again, the same capabilities. You want to hold your iPad up to your ear and do VoIP or video and all that stuff, all good. You know, you can do that across there as well. Right, on that device. All right, so very, very feature-rich set of mobility clients that we say are pretty much platform agnostic in terms of all of the major smartphone. Excuse me. I caught me by surprise. addressing all of the major smartphone platforms we have. So communicating directly from Office apps, and you know, we talk about this, you know, we've always had this with Link Server and OCS 2007 prior, around the ability to click, communicate. Now, though, what you see with a quick contact card is these icons, and it'll be easier to see in demo in terms of how I go and initiate communications across there, and what the new contact card potentially looks like when I expose and bring that stuff up as well. So I have these peaks where I can drop down from the phone graphic across there and see published numbers that I have coming in there. And again, let's say that for demo, so in terms of you can see what that really looks like in real life across there. OneNote Share, this is now my most favored meeting must-have accessory, all right? For people that have used OneNote, everyone says, wow, it's a great application that I never knew about, right? This thing about this essentially note-taking across there. Now the OneNote experience comes much richer integrated in terms of the linked meeting experience. You know, I talk about typical audio conference or online meeting would be where six of us jump on the phone call or link call or whatever it happens to be. We talk about stuff and a whole bunch of actions. Yep, yeah, that's great. You know, we're all in six different locations. We end the call. There were a bunch of actions that never get followed up upon, right? Because there were six people somewhere and no one was really owning or leading around that stuff, right? What we try to do around the meeting experience is to ensure that it extends beyond the duration of the meeting. So now I have the ability to have a shared OneNote, okay, that I can have and people can contribute to. We get all that stuff in real time. You know, you stick it up on a SharePoint or on a SkyDrive so everybody can access across there. But it does things automatically, like popping in the attendee roster. So if I have 200 people on my meeting invite and I introduce this OneNote share across there, what you have is the attendee roster of all of those names automatically populated into the OneNote. If I'm putting a file attachments into the meeting, so people could download documents or whatever it is offline around there, around the meeting content, all of that is shown in the OneNote. If I do a PowerPoint presentation, that PowerPoint's stored up on SharePoint or a SkyDrive, okay, the PowerPoint's rendered there in OneNote and people can then just click and download and access that information. So the whole meeting experience is now there and it lives beyond the end of the meeting, all right? So yeah, this is a great, great feature now we can have around getting OneNote integrated in there. So final thing around the clients, and you know, really I've mentioned this already in terms of Skype. You know, there were some stats floating around that there are sort of 200 million plus monthly active subscribers to Skype, right? So the install base is absolutely colossal. And I'm sure if we'd done a straw poll right now, we'd probably get near on 100% of people in the audience who have used or use Skype on a regular basis, right, across there. A whole heap of minutes that carries. So when you think about it as a communication platform, it's absolutely huge. So whilst we don't have anything to share today around what the future integration may look like, you know, absolutely, and one of our leads, Kurt Konigsberg, talked about, you know, potentially adding video in downstream around there. But just to clarify around there, it's IM, it's presence, and it's voice capability. We'll be able to federate between Link and Skype users. Okay, I'm going to touch very, very briefly, in terms of time, around around the server. So with Link Server 2010, there were really two deployment choices. Okay, you could go Link Server, and that could be deployed in a private data center with a private connection, or you deploy it in your own data center or on-premise. Okay, it gives you the full breadth of all of the Link Server 2010 capability. The other way you could deploy was Link Online through a public service, i.e. a partner-hosted multi-tenanted environment, or something such as Microsoft Office 365, okay, where again you're consuming that service from the public cloud when it comes through there. The primary differences between the two have been around voice. If I want to have external voice capability to make and receive phone calls, I have to deploy on-premise. Try not to die on stage before 10, then we're good across there. So with 2013, we now have a capability of a hybrid environment. So we can split a single domain and have users across both environments. We're also in other markets, and you may see stuff around there, so I just wanted to push this out, is that, you know, there's a basic voice out capability we've done with Jar Jar in Europe and the US from the cloud. Hey, we're not offering that out of our 365 data center in Asia. Okay, so that service isn't available. So if you want to do true enterprise-grade voice, move your PBX out, okay, do away with it and move to Link, you have to have a Link server on-premise. There is a hybrid way in which you can get some sort of consuming services from the cloud and leveraging infrastructure and PSTN egress out of your site, but you still need to have a Link server and an Edge server in that environment. All right, so you do need to go on-premise across there. Okay. Right. We shall move over and switch to demo. So I'm just going to drop out, and I'll keep all this machine on here. What we have on here, and I'll just go do not disturb, which I should have done earlier. There's always people in the audience who start IMing and popping stuff coming through around there. So apologies, it's not even coming on the screen. Let me... Yep, we're back. We're good. Okay, so I have on the screen my Link 2013 PC client. You can see the sort of chromeless display we have around there. I'll just highlight it in black so you can sort of see this thing clearly as we get across there. So again, I have presence. I see availability of users. I can see Andrew's in a conference call at the top there. And Dirk's busy. Garth's available. You know, offline people. All of that type of presence states I have coming through. Now, what's new around the client? Okay, so you'll see these icons up here. There will be a fourth one at launch you'll see around persistent chat, which I don't have on there. But now I'm seeing my contacts view. I have my previous history view around calls, videos, everything else around my call logs, etc. And I have my voice view. If you really, really want to have a 3x4 keypad, it's still there in the client, and you can key on the thing and make phone calls if you really, really want to. All right? I know many people that do that. And again, fully integrated in terms of Exchange, popping my visual voicemail in terms of my voicemails I have left to me, getting them through into the client experience. So I have a user here, which you can't quite see on a, I've got a Windows 8 slate on here, okay, just with a camera on. And this guy, I'll just check the username around here, Garth Fort. So I can go and I can search for users across there, or I can have them in my buddies list to see Garth's already there. You know, and if I scroll down, I'll see other live users we have around my environment. If I hover over somebody, so if you hover over John there in the photo, what you'll see is these four new icons, an IM, voice, video, and a people icon. Now, if I click on the drop-down against the voice environment, I'll see published numbers that John has around him, and I can initiate a phone call to any of those devices. I can now single-click join also around video on there, okay? So I can initiate a video call straight off the bat, or I can click and expose the new contact card as it comes through. So now on the contact card, see that across there, get it on the screen. Let's bring that up a bit. Now I'm getting a lot richer information across there. So I'm seeing John's currently out of office, when he's free. I can hyperlink if I want to schedule meetings or send emails or call him and stuff. What you see around the profile is I'm getting it from lots and lots of different sources now. Not only in my corporate environment, but also I've got John linked from LinkedIn and Facebook in there. So if I click around what's new, hopefully there's nothing inappropriate in his Facebook feed, but I'm getting that now in the contact card coming through in terms of, you know, information I have from his Facebook, from LinkedIn, you know, photos from there, all that other stuff. Great way now in things, hey, I need to communicate with this guy, what's he up to right now, what's he doing, oh, he just got married, great, let me give him a call and get into a communication, right? But bringing all of that information and melding that together across there in the contact card. We also have organizational view where, you know, I can see the hierarchy. Again, that's putting that through. I can see who John's manager is, so if he's not answering my calls or doing what I want him to do, let me escalate that up and see who his manager is. And again, I just need to go over these users in real time, and it will bring up their contact card, and I have the same capability across there and move in there. All right? So very, very rich experience in terms of I find people, I can communicate with them, I get information about them when it comes through. So let me just go back up to the top. So Garth was there. You know, I can go and I can do an IM session with Garth. What you will notice around his presence, it says on there, is available and he's video capable. So not only do I know off the bat, if I wanted my client slot that you were seeing on, across there, that he's available, I know he's available to do a video call straight away. Now, we don't do auto answer, okay? My video doesn't automatically start when it comes across there, so before people ask, so you're not going to be caught in any sort of state of half undress when you would click on answer and you're meant to hit on ignore and, you know, your video comes across there. when it comes through. So I go into an IM session between there, and it's familiar with what we have around. I'm just going to go back to this machine. I'm just going across, and you get the feel, right? So we've got two ends of a call on IM conversation. Now, if I want to escalate that up to video across there, now if I just hover my mouse over across there, I now get the video preview or video peek. So this is a great way where you can go and do your hair in the morning or not. All right, make sure you're looking as beautiful as you possibly can. Then I will turn my camera on as it comes through there, right? So I'm getting my own preview, see it look good, then coming in. I come across to this guy, and I'll just accept that video frame. And I'm just going to make this full screen as it comes across on there. We've got a bit of backlight across there, so you're not sort of getting the full effect as it comes in. But if I stand across on this machine on here, again, you know, what you're seeing now is my video coming up on the screen. You say, get up to 1080p experience across there if we have the camera capability. I think that one is a 1080p camera. That's a 720p based on network. Another great thing is really want to get the focus around that experience. Okay, I go to this full screen view, and it sort of renders everything black and pops it out. So now what you're seeing on there is, you know, just from a webcam on a Windows 8 slate on here, a Samsung slate, you're seeing that whole full screen experience. So we talk about immersive desktop video experience. Now that's pushed all the way in there when it comes in. Cough again. There is a LAN connection across there, right? So remember the rule of thumb around link. If you're not familiar, when I go two-person across there, if we go peer-to-peer, we'll go peer-to-peer, right, when it comes in. When I go multi-party, i.e. more than two people, in those scenarios, I will always transgress. The media streams will already go through the AV-MCU, okay, the AV-MCU being normally the link front-end server in 2013. Okay, Cove resides on there. When I go and do that in demo in a moment, just a scenario, we're hooked up straight across the internet on here, and my server I'm hooking back to is in Redmond, set onto somebody's desk, hopefully still switched on right now, and they're not going to hit the button across there, right? So we're just traversing across there into that environment to get across, and we go multi-party. So you can see what the multi-party experience looks like when we drop that in. Okay, so that's just a peer-to-peer voice and video call we have active. But hey, it may be that I wanted to actually go and share content. If I hover over, now what you're seeing is, you know, the ability to share my desktop, a program, a PowerPoint, I do a whiteboard session or a poll, but also I have now OneNote. Again, I go in there, I have my notes or shared notes. This is where I talked about having that sort of meeting experience enriched by having all of the capability pushed across there. And again, if we had any attachments, we could just drag and drop stuff across and do a file transfer effectively between the users. Okay, so peer-to-peer video, I say scaling up to 1080p. I'm just going to drop that away because in the interest of time, what I really want to get onto is to show some of that meeting experience stuff that we have. So I'll just drop that client. And I'm going to go into Outlook now. So again, Outlook 2013 on here. And you'll see up in the ribbon across there the ability to create a new link meeting. Okay, so I can click on this guy. And you'll see, it's just like a meeting invite that I had before. It renders and puts information about the online meeting. So I have a hyperlink there to join the meeting. If people really want to be old school and dial in from a phone across there, it gives you some local numbers in there. Okay, and again, by default, my region is populating and putting in the New Zealand numbers. But I can change that if I'm inviting people from the US to a conference call. I don't want them to hit loads of international numbers. If I have a point of presence or an ingress point in the US in terms of a gateway, they can use that and leverage and come in, all right, and get into the meeting experience. So I have lots of meeting control around there when it comes in. Okay, so that's a meeting, and I can go on there, and I can find Garth, and there he is. Garth's on there. I'll invite him into the meeting on this guy. Andrew, I'll invite Andrew into the meeting as it comes around there. We'll just get a couple of people in right now. Let's see if... I'll spell Scott's name. Two will do. Right. You should have shouted, Scott. Okay, so I'll create a demo meeting. I'll send this guy out. Before I do, I'll just click on the meeting options because I talked about a public and private meeting space that we can now have when it comes in there. And I'll just zoom in on here so you can see this thing across there. Now what I have is this permissions. You see I've got two options. So I have my dedicated meeting space you say it's less secure because that's the same space that each meetings go into. So if I create another meeting, it goes into that same meeting space, all right? So anybody from my company can get into that meeting at any time, right? So it's not really locked down across there. If I really want to lock this meeting down, I say, hey, I want to create a new meeting space where I control what really happens around there. I can say, who gets in directly to the meeting? They say, yeah, anyone can go in, or I can say, no, only me, the organizer. Anybody else, hold them in the lobby. Some lovely, cheesy music on hold, and I'll have to admit them as they join. So I can control who comes in and who goes out of my meeting, okay, from there when it comes in. I can also now put control around who's a presenter. You know, is it anybody from my organization, or just select somebody who I want to present stuff? So I'm not going to get people trying to take control or disturb the meeting as it has come around there. Also, this is the one I talk about, the CEO option, okay, or the Steve Ballmer option, mute all attendees we have on there. I do that. It doesn't matter. If I invite all of you guys to a meeting, you're not going to be able to unmute yourself unless I allow you to actually do that stuff. You can hit the unmute button as much as you want as it comes around there. Or if I don't want to see your faces, again, I can put control around blocking video in there at Mix as well. Okay. So I'll okay that. Just zoom back out. And we have our meeting. So we'll go. We'll send this guy out. It's scheduled for, what's that? Do it for 10 o'clock, so we'll see a reminder pop up on there in a second. Okay, that goes out. There's my meeting. It's come in. Bingo. My time has gone off, and I've got my meeting. And, of course, if I want to, I can click one click, join online from the meeting reminder that's gone up. I don't even need to actually go and expand the meeting, then go and click on the hyperlink if I didn't want to. I can just click on the join online, and it goes through. When I click and join this guy across here, okay, what's now going to happen across? You see my browser popped in the background. Let's do a quick check, right? Do I have a link client installed locally? If yes, it's going to push that out there and drive me into the meeting. Now, I have an optional prompt, and I can have this automatically bypassed if I wish, that says, hey, where do I want to do my audio from? Do I want to use link, you know, on my device? Give me the full VoIP and video experience as it comes through there. Or, hey, no, call me on mobile because, you know, I'm sitting in the coffee shop and I'm walking around, whatever it is, or don't join audio. Right? So I use my link client. I'll bring that up. So I'm now connected, because there's a conference connecting into our link server. And again, this is why I'm talking about the photos. So that's an old photo, and obviously old because there's hair involved. But it's a lot more grainy in terms of, you know, with 2013, you'll be able to upload and have a this 648 by 648 high def, what's it, pixel high def photo published through into Exchange in there. So I'm the only one in the meeting on there right now on that side of things. I'm going to come across and jump onto this machine. And I'm going to click and join the meeting on here. As you can see, this guy. And hopefully Andrew's around as well. We've already got somebody waiting in the lobby, or three people waiting in the lobby, and it comes in there. That's interesting. So one of the presenters has invited somebody else across there. Somebody did know Scott's address. Right, and it comes in. So I can go and see the lobby, see who's waiting. Hey, there it's SCH. I was getting slightly confused, right? We can see a few people coming in. All right, I'll say, hey, let's admit everybody in to that meeting experience. Here. I'll just join through on here. Now, what we're getting is multi-party video coming in. So Scott's looking nice and dark up there in the gods up there at the back. Andrew, I think, sat outside as across there. Hey, we've got Garth coming in on here as well. Let me just go and start coming through and put Garth on here. My video. Bingo. Right. Now we got three, four people plus mine, multi-party video coming through a client. I have the attendee roster. Yeah, everyone's moving. I should probably hit mute on here before we get some sounds. Or if I wanted to, if it's them, hey, I can mute them or I could remove them. I can have sidebar conversations, so I can hover over Andrew in there, okay, and I can start an IM conversation or a VoIP conversation that we have pushing through. Right, I can see who the presenters, people who joined from my organization, attendees, who Garth was there because he wasn't part of my organization when it comes in. You know, these guys have meeting control. We see all that information. Hey, I've not started my video yet. Is it across there? So you just see my photo come in when it comes in there. Again, if we had more people, we would create this sitting row underneath there when it has coming in. All right. So now we have the standing view or the sitting row. Now if I go and just grab some content on here, let me go and find PowerPoint, and I've got just a real small one slider. What that will do is it will actually upload now into the server, okay, across there. Again, if we can get the bandwidth coming through. Now you see it's loading up my PowerPoint when it comes in, and it's moved that gallery of the video up to the top, all right? So we get the content experience pushed in on the main screen, okay? And I have the gallery of everybody's video coming in through there once this thing comes in and loads up. On cue, there we go, it comes in. Big PowerPoint, one slide of one, right, when it comes in. Now, it may be that I want to start to change the view, as I talked about. Here, I have this layout view. Right now on gallery, where I'm seeing everybody, I flick that to speaker view. All right, now see the last person that was spoken before them. I'm muted around there. All right, so now someone's remotely speaking. You see their video and they're talking about the content, but you're seeing it all in the same frame when it comes through in there, right? Again, I can pop this thing out. I can go this full screen view, again, with the gallery across there. Speaker view when it comes in there. Or if I want to go and change that view again and put a gallery back up across the top. Again, I'm going to see it. We're sort of cutting off on the render. There we go. You can now see the same multi-party video experience with content all in there across the frame. Now, I could even pop out the video, so if I've got two screens across here, I could then, let's get up to there, pop that video out, drag it across to another screen, or put it where I wish, you know, however I want to deal with that stuff when it comes in. All right, so that's me using my link client on this machine, okay, to get that multi-party video experience with content, with sharing coming through. What I'm now going to do, I'll leave these guys actually in the meeting there for a second, but what I'm going to do is actually drop out from the link client and show you the link web app and the experience I get when I join in from that client in there. So we just drop that out of the way. Right. Oops. What I'm now doing is just basically tricking the thing to think I don't have a link client installed on my machine. Okay, now it's going to pop up and hopefully join me through the link web app client. All right, so it's pulled me up to the link web app page. So this is now an external participant or somebody that's coming in to join the meeting. But hey, I'm actually from the organizer's company, so I can put in my actual full credentials. Okay, and I'll click on join the meeting. Now, you notice this is just in IE, okay, in my browser session. It's now going in. It's joining the meeting when it comes in. We're seeing all the same participants as it comes in there. It's telling me my speaker's muted as it comes in across there. All right, I'll start to load that experience now through a browser session. We have full AV, multi-party, exactly the same experience I was getting from the link client. I'm now getting as a participant coming through in there. It's just loading up the content around as it comes in there. And again, hey, I can do all of that same stuff, you know, when it comes in there. I can go in, I could start my video. You see, I still get the video peaks through the browser session. I hover over there, yep, that's good. Let me start my video up across in there as well. We could go and share some content. We've got that one that's already there. Hey, let's bring that PowerPoint back into the mix and we can start going in there. Any HTML5 browser, we think that's pretty compelling in terms of that whole meeting experience now, in terms of zero client install and getting this stuff all to come through. Now, I know we're literally right on to 10 o'clock. There's a whole bunch of stuff we were hoping to get through and show you a bit more around there. But I'll say there's lots and lots of stuff around Link Server 2013. So I'll just drop this meeting off and let the guys come through. And I'm just going to flip back to my PowerPoint. Now, we haven't touched much around the actual server itself, as I say. So we have architecture sessions. Come back up my screen. It is. So there's a whole bunch of related sessions. There's the track numbers that are up there. So this afternoon we have the Link Server 2013 architecture. There, Andrew will be taking us through what's changed around Link Server 2010. There's a whole new set of capability in terms of how we build out a new DR scenario with a backup service we're running in Link Server. Okay, so we can have the concept of what we call paired pools. So you can have two active data centers where the pools of users are paired and actually split between. So if one pool is unavailable and goes down in the data center, the other data center in terms of the pool there simply just picks up the load. Right? We introduce SQL mirroring, a whole set of capability that we can actually really build out and make this high availability, DR, and always-on communications thing very, very easily. You know, if some people have looked at Link Server 2010 and metro area resiliency, right, some pretty complex requirements and hard and fast rules you had. So if you want to learn more around link server architecture, that's the session to go through. You see, we've also got the deployment one. We just learned about the architecture. Let's go and deploy the stuff. Voice improvements, heaps of stuff, and I don't know how we're going to get all the stuff into an hour, from IPv6 support to lots and lots of stuff under the hood in terms of voice capability we're now introducing around there. You know, and we're in trunking in the mix in there as well. Meeting improvements. So Andrew's going to dive through on Friday morning, so not sort of bleary-eyed after the Thursday night party. He's going to come and talk around deeper, how we've seen the meeting experience there, what it looks like, how does that work under the hood, what are the requirements to actually get this stuff up and running when it comes through. And finally, hey, we talked about the new mobile clients, we talked about voice over Wi-Fi, video over 3G, 4G. You know, you need to engineer your network, sometimes your data network, to ensure you can take advantage of this capability out there. Now, there's a whole bunch of resources. Let me go on there, and the decks will obviously be available with all of this stuff. If you want to get hold of the preview client, just do a search, obviously on Bing, not on Google, for Link Preview 2013. It'll take you to the site, it'll give you some overview and capability. It'll give you a hyperlink where you can go and sign up for some free demo Office 365 accounts with the 2013 backend. Or if you want to, you can get the actual consumer preview bits, or in terms of the Link Preview bits, download those and install those locally, right? So you can play around with all this capability and a whole lot more beyond there. Please, please, please make sure you go and do evals at the end. It is very important to us in terms of how we then go and structure sessions for next year and all of that good stuff. We need to get your feedback, say, hey, these sessions are valuable around Link, around Exchange. Make sure you go in and do this stuff. And of course, there's a whole bunch of prizes we have, okay, around there. Talking of prizes, so we're at that time where we can start taking questions, but I'll probably, in terms of these two, sorry, one, two cars to give away. Is Andrew back in the room? Yep. So I'll get Andrew just to keep an eye out for me in terms of we get a hand on here, in terms of who gets a hand up first and getting some right answers. But so Link Server 2013 is a long line, if you like, around evolution of our product set for unified comms. Right? So what version are we up to in terms of you take Link Server 2013 as a version now? How many versions of UC have we had? First hand I saw was a gentleman there. Apologies to someone before, but version 15. No, not version in terms of number of versions I was looking for. So, oh, Andrew, over there. I can't see who it is. Hand up now. Yep. Five. Close. No cigar. One. The other hand I saw was just in front over there first. Six it is. LCS 2003. I'm just going to count that up myself. LCS 2005. OCS 2007, R2 was a major release of OCS. Link Server 2010, Link Server 2013. Don't any other vendor tell you that this is new and it's unproven in terms of technology and capability. I will rest my case around that question. So, for that person, have one of those. Okay. One more question. This will be a real easy one, so... Again, help with the hands across there. I'll take Andrew's word on whose hand goes up first. Except my own video preview, how many videos can I, panes can I see in? Andrew, it's on your head. Oh, no, Scott's got one down there. Put a hand up, who's pointing at? Sorry? Five. I was hoping you were going to get it right because I didn't know who was second up there with the hands. Absolutely. Come grab one of those. Okay, so with that, happy to open up for any questions. Thank you for coming along. I hope you enjoy the rest of TechEd. Yep.